It is a very familiar passage that we are looking at. I expect you've all read this passage of this man who was born blind and how the Lord healed him and how all this happened, where the leaders of the Jews asked him questions and asked his parents questions and so on. It's an interesting thing when you work your way through this passage, the number of questions that are being asked in this passage. The man who was born blind, the Jews bring him before them and they ask him questions. They bring him again a second time. They ask him questions. They go to his parents. They ask them questions. So there are all these questions that are being asked in this passage. But this morning I want to focus in upon one question that is found in this passage. It is the question that is found in verse 35. And it is the question that Jesus asks him. He has been interrogated by the Jews twice. His parents have been interrogated by the Jews. And then we hear that Jesus, in verse 35, Jesus heard that he had been cast, that they had cast him out. And having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" There are all sorts of questions that we can hear. There are all sorts of questions that we can ask, but this, I put it to you, is one of the most important questions you can ever hear or you can ever consider. This is the question that Christ puts to this man. It is a question that Christ puts to all who will listen. The whole world needs to listen to this question, and the whole world needs to give consideration to this question. We need to look at this question, we need to think about it, and we need to have an answer. Do you believe in the Son of Man? That reference, of course, is to Christ. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Well, this morning I want to open up this question by asking three other questions. And as we look at those three questions, we will understand what Jesus is asking. The first question I want to ask is this: what does it mean to believe in Christ? Here is the question: do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you believe in Christ? Well, let's ask that first question: what does it mean to believe in Christ? And the Bible's answer is this: to believe in Christ means to turn from our sins, to turn from the way that we live our lives, to turn from the way that we do our thinking, to turn from this, which is repentance, to repent, to turn from this, to come to Christ and to believe in Christ, to put our faith in Christ, to put our all our hope in Christ, and to trust in Christ alone as the Savior of sinners. That is what it means to believe in Him. It means that we are not to trust in our own works. It is not to trust in our religion. It is not to trust in ourselves. The person who says, "I do not trust in my religion, I do not trust in my church going, I do not trust in my decent moral life or in my good works, I am trusting in Jesus Christ alone." That is what it means to believe in Christ. There's a lovely hymn that we sing, "Rock of Ages Cleft for Me." And in the hymn we sing these words about how nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked I come to thee for dress. Helpless I come to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. That is saving faith. In that verse in the hymn, we are saying, I don't bring anything when I come to Christ. I don't bring my good works, my religious works, my decent moral life. I don't come to Christ saying, you know, I'm a good person. Yes, I need help, but I'm a good person. I'm a moral person. Nothing in my hands I bring. And we don't hold on to anything else as our hope of salvation. We don't say my good works will save me or my decent religious life will save me. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. To believe in Jesus is to know this, that Christ died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. It is to accept his death as a death in our place. It is to accept that when Jesus Christ died on that cross, He took our sins upon Himself. It is to accept and to believe that God in heaven punished His Son on the cross with the punishment that we should have received. And God judged His Son on the cross with the judgment that we should have received. It is to believe that Christ suffered in our place with the sufferings that we should have experienced. And it is to believe that Christ on the cross of Calvary made a full, a complete, a total payment for our sins. And once we've trusted in Christ, then we know that our sins are forgiven. It is Christ alone who saves. You read the Bible from the first chapter of Genesis to the last chapter of Revelation. The whole of the Bible is about Christ. And the whole of the Bible is about Christ, Lord and Savior. And right from the Old Testament, the Bible speaks about Christ, about His coming into this world, about His death on the cross, and the reason for His death. Our sins paid for, the penalty paid for, judgment dealt with, condemnation dealt with. Christ alone is Savior. Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you repented of your sin? Have you turned from trusting in yourself, in your good works, in your religious works? Have you turned from being in the world and enjoying the pleasures of the world? Have you turned to Jesus Christ? Have you asked Him to save you? Have you received Him? Have you asked Him to wash you in His blood and to give you His righteousness? Have you asked Him to save you? What does it mean? It means to trust in Jesus Christ alone as Savior of sinners. So that's my first question. What does it mean to believe in Christ? My second question is this: why should we believe in Christ? Jesus commands us to believe in Him. Jesus invites us to believe in Him. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent and believe the gospel. We are commanded to repent. We are commanded to believe in Christ. Why should we believe in Christ? Well, there are two reasons why we must believe in Christ. The first reason is this: we are sinners and we need a Savior. We are sinners and we need a Savior. This man was born physically blind. That girl in Brazil was born physically blind. But as I said earlier, we were all born blind. The reason why John writes this passage and why we have this long description of this man who was born blind healed is because it's speaking to us. And God is saying to us, just as He was physically blind, so you were spiritually blind. We were all born sinners. We were born with a heart that has a bias towards sin. We were born with a heart that loves sin. We were born with a heart that wanted nothing to do with God and nothing to do with Christ and nothing to do with worship of God and living for God. We had a bias that we were born with sin and unrighteousness and rebellion, not Christ and righteousness and glory to Him. And so we need a Savior. We cannot save ourselves. Can you imagine a day, this is going to sound absolutely ridiculous, but can you imagine a day when this girl born in Brazil grows older and goes to school, and although she's blind, she does well at school, goes to medical school, becomes a doctor, and becomes a surgeon. Can you imagine a day when she goes into the hospital and puts herself down on the operating table and takes a scalpel and does her own surgery? Well, of course you can't. If she is to be cured of her blindness, somebody else must do the surgery. There must be an experienced surgeon who is experienced in this task, who's done this work before and knows what they're doing. And that person must do the surgery. And you see, it's a picture. Just as a blind man cannot heal himself, so we cannot heal ourselves of our sin. Our sin has disabled us. We need a Savior. So the first reason why we must believe in Christ is because we are in our sin. But the second reason why we must believe in Christ is because He is the only Savior. He is the only Savior. I know we live in a world that says all religions lead to righteousness and to God and to heaven. And I know people everywhere say, well, it's like the mountaintop, and some people take this route up the mountain and others take that route up the mountain. And it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you are sincere in your belief, you'll get there. It's a lie. It is a lie of the devil. All roads do not lead to heaven, only one. There aren't different types of saviors out there who will take their people to heaven. No. Those who believe in Christ, those who have Christ as Lord and Savior, those whose sins have been washed in the blood of Jesus, those who have been forgiven through the death of Jesus on the cross of Calvary, they and they alone will find themselves in heaven. And those who reject Christ, they may be very sincere in the religion that they follow. They may be very sincere in the beliefs that they hold. And to all outward appearance, they may appear to be very nice, moral, religious, upright people. You know how we become impressed with people. You look at somebody and you think, he's such a nice person and he's so religious. He follows his religion with such devotion and sincerity. Such a nice, gracious person. We get impressed with people. God looks at the heart. And God asks the question that Christ asked, do you believe in the Son of Man? God doesn't say, were you sincere in following the religion that you followed? God is not interested in that. God doesn't say, were you sincere in the beliefs that you held? Did you really hold those beliefs? That is not what God is interested in. God says, I sent my Son into the world. He's the only one I've sent. There is none other who's ever come and claimed to be the Savior of sinners, Christ alone. There's never anybody who has come and actually died in the place of sinners and taken their sin upon himself and died for those sins, Christ alone. We must believe in Christ because we are sinners and because Christ alone is the Savior of sinners. Have you believed in Him? Have you said to yourself, I know my works cannot save me. I know that as long as I remain outside of Christ, I'm lost and I'm hell-bound. Have you come to Christ? Have you repented? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you haven't believed in Him, you are still in your sin. You are separated from God and you are bound for hell. Oh, but those who have believed in Him know the blessings of salvation. So we've looked at two reasons. What does it mean to believe in Christ? It means to believe that He alone is Savior and Lord. It is to put our trust in Him, and it is to trust Him alone. Why should we believe in Him? Because we are sinners, and because He alone is able to save sinners. And then my third question, and it is this: what will happen when we believe in Christ? The person who has been born in sin, as we were all born in sin, and one day God opens that person's spiritual eyes, and they see their sin, and they see that this disease of sin that they have, they're unable to do anything with it apart from help from outside. They can see this. I cannot deal with my sin. And so God in Christ, by His Holy Spirit, draws that person to Christ and grants that person repentance and grants that person faith so that that person repents, believes in Jesus. What will happen? Well, the Bible tells us those who are Christians, those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have trusted in Him, are the most blessed people on this planet. I wonder if you sometimes look at television and you see people living glamorous lives and they have beautiful houses and beautiful cars and beautiful foreign holidays and you think, oh, what a blessed group of people these are. Can I say this to you? If you're a Christian here this morning and you love the Lord Jesus, you are the most blessed person here on earth. All who are saved, we are the blessed people. We are told that in the Bible. We are told that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I think our greatest problem is we simply do not understand what God has done for us. The Puritan theologian John Owen says the biggest problem God's people have is that they do not understand the great blessings that God has given to them. Do you know, friends, we should read the Bible again and again, and we should look specifically at what has God done for me. Can I this morning very briefly just outline some of the blessings that God has granted to us? Now these are great, great blessings, and we need to meditate on them to see how wonderful they are. God in Christ has forgiven us all our sins. All past sins, all present sins, all future sins, they're all gone. They've all been washed in the blood of Jesus. They've all been hurled into the bottom of the ocean. They have all been forgiven. Do you ever wake up in the middle of the night and the devil assails you with thoughts about your past failures and how you failed terribly in doing this and how you failed terribly in doing that? Well, we have all failed and we've all done great sins, but Christ has washed away all those sins. They are all gone. They are not there. You have every right to say to yourself, yes, it's true what the devil is saying to me, but the sins are not there any longer. They are gone. My conscience is clean, and I know that I'm a forgiven person. When you die, you stand before God in judgment. There is nothing against your record. God will never say to you, well, you did this wrong, and you did this wrong, and you did this wrong. Your record has been cleansed. Christ has forgiven you. All sins gone. Not only that, but we have been brought out of slavery to sin and brought into the kingdom of God as His beloved children. You know, those who are born in sin, not only do they have a sinful heart that is biased towards sin, but they're actually slaves of sin. We saw something of this in the earlier passages in John's Gospel. You remember last week we were seeing how Jesus said to the Pharisees that if you believe in me, you will be free. If the Son of Man sets you free, you'll be free indeed. And they said, but we are free. And Jesus says, everyone who lives a life of sin is a slave of sin. And all who are not believers, all who are not Christians, all who have never been saved through faith in Christ are slaves of sin. They're bound by sin. But praise God, the blood of Jesus Christ redeems us, sets us free from slavery to sin. We're brought out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the kingdom of sin and Satan, and we're brought into God's kingdom, and we are made the beloved children of God. If you're a Christian here this morning, you love the Lord Jesus, you're a child of God, and God loves you. God's love is eternally upon you. God's love will never cease to be upon you. God will never withdraw His love from you. Regardless of what you do, I'm not giving you a license to sin. I'm not giving you a license to live a careless life. But I'm trying to encourage you. You are a child of God and you're under the love of God. Now the love of God expresses itself in different ways. And if we do fall into terrible sin, God will discipline us. But the reason He disciplines us is because He loves us. If He were not our Father, why should He discipline us? We discipline our children. I don't discipline the child next door. I wouldn't dare do such a thing. But I discipline my own children. And so the fact that God disciplines us is proof that He loves us. So we brought out of darkness, out of slavery to sin, we brought into God's kingdom. And the third blessing that we enjoy, forgiveness of sin, freedom from slavery to sin, eternal hope in heaven. Eternal hope of heaven. If you're a Christian here this morning, you are born again, and Christ is your Lord and Savior. You have no reason to fear death. You have no reason to fear the day of judgment. You have no reason to fear condemnation or of any negative thoughts on the day of judgment. You have no reason to fear that. For us as Christians, death has lost all its power and all its sting. Have you noticed how those who are not Christians hate the thought of death? Don't want to talk about death. You raise the subject of death and they immediately change the subject. Or they'll say outright, look, I don't want to talk about this. It's because they don't know where they're going. To them, death is this dark, unknown thing in the future. They don't know what lies beyond it. They have a deep suspicion somewhere deep in their heart. They have a suspicion that what's beyond death is not very nice, and they don't want to think about it. But have you noticed how the Bible speaks so openly about death? And the Bible says, those who are Christians, death has lost its sting, it's lost its dread, it's lost its fear. Because for us, death has become a door. You go through that door and you go into a new place. We leave this earth with its sin and with all its sorrows and sufferings. And we go through the door of death and we enter into heaven, a kingdom of love and joy and grace and mercy, where Christ dwells with his people. We enter into a place where there is no sin, where sin will never hinder our worship or our service for Christ. We enter into a place of love where Christ loves his people, and nothing will ever hinder our experiencing of that love. His love will come to us fresh and full, and we will rejoice in it. We will enter into a place where our loved ones who've died in Christ will be there and will be united with them to rejoice in the Lord forever. A real hope of heaven. This is not a pipe dream. This is not some make-believe. This is reality. This is why Christians die with such joy, because they know they're going to a place that is so much better. So what happens when we believe in Christ? All our sins are forgiven. We're released from slavery to sin, and we are given a hope of heaven. Do you believe in the Son of Man?